Mediation, a universal need. During our lifetime, we have seen various mediators appointed by different governments to try to settle conflicts that exist between countries or factions in countries. The United States government has sent several mediators to the Middle East to try to bring about a reconciliation. The mediator must come with a certain measure of authority. He represents concerned parties. The mediator must possess patience. He cannot dominate, he cannot dogmatize, he cannot order. If he does any of these, he stirs up resentment. So the patience, the understanding, the spirit of cooperation that listens, that makes suggestions, that appeals, is the center of Christ's ministry that we shall think about this week. This kind of mediation is essential for angels, for unfallen worlds, for mankind, even to establish the character of God. As we think about the opening section of this lesson that deals with the Creator and the Sustainer, we realize that the Mediator is as authoritative and powerful as any being in the universe. He has the highest credentials. He has the strongest authority. He created the universe. And as he has seen a part of the universe fall apart, disintegrate, take off in areas of rebellion, he has refused to acknowledge frustration and has begun to negotiate, to mediate, to bring the warring elements back into a humane, peaceful, law-abiding relationships. The laws of God, as we have noticed many times, are codifications of the principle of love in various relationships. Think of the Decalogue, man's relationship to his parents, codified in the fifth commandment. Man's relationship to life, codified in the sixth, and so on through the Decalogue. We can see even in the national laws that Moses legislated, relationships that are being set up based on the eternal principle of love. When the Creator built the universe, he built it on law, every relationship being the product of love. When Satan fractured those relationships, he broke those laws and he set about the forces of disintegration which would destroy. So the mediator seeks to bring back into that relationship of love defined by law all those who have moved away from the program that God has set up. Part number two. Man is under bondage. He is the captive of Satan. He has broken every relationship. Relationships in his ecological state. Relationships in his social state. In his religious state. In his moral state. Every holy definition of an ideal relationship has been broken by Satan. He sets out. He is in enmity against law. He is at enmity against a definition of how love should function in relationship. So he is a hateful murderer who is bent on destroying. And those who are under bondage to Satan are equally hostile to love, are equally subject to hostility, to destruction, to removing any constraint they feel in any relationship. War is perhaps the greatest illustration of satanic fury against God. There was war in heaven. There's war on earth. Just look for a moment what war does to relationships. When an army wants food, it goes in and loots it. When it wants a vehicle, it goes in and confiscates it. When somebody stands in its way, it shoots the opposition. The result of war, wherever it has been total destruction. Every relationship, the relationship of man to plants, to the ground, to the air he breathes, to the people in the lands to which he goes, is shattering destruction. To a lesser degree, sin does this in every relationship. And man is a puppet, he's in bondage, he's a soldier of the general Satan, and wherever he goes, he destroys. If he does anything good, if he sees anything right, it's the true light that is in him that is helping him bring this about. And in the story of Eden, the Lord revealed that a disintegration, thorns, thistles, a reversal of the divine plan would come about as a result of man's rebellion. Part number 3, miraculous protection. Why aren't we destroyed? Why isn't the whole world one cemetery? Because Jesus Christ interposed himself. He came in Eden and stood between our first parents and death. This is part of the plan of salvation. It's only the Lord's mercy, compassion in Jesus Christ that we are all not consumed. His compassions fail not. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness. I can go to sleep worn out, frustrated, tired, and awake refreshed in the morning by a miracle of which I have no control, a generous gift of God. When I'm cut, I'm wounded, bruised, he can heal and he can restore. His loving kindness, his faithfulness that is new every day, that is seen in seed time and harvest, summer and winter, the rain and the sunshine and the rainbow, in all the manifestations of nature. If I look, I can see that the Lord is controlling enough to demonstrate to the universe that he is powerful enough to save those who come to him. And he's allowing Satan to waste and destroy in order that men and the universe might see that rebellion leads finally to disintegration. Jesus promises that if we come to him, he will never loosen his grasp upon us. In face of what Satan is doing, we can see his miraculous intercessory protection. Part number 4. And yet, if man is not careful, the seeds of destruction that he has within himself by his own choices will destroy every relationship. The wicked shall perish. The enemies of the Lord shall burn up as the fat of lambs. They shall consume away. And all that will be left will be the smoke, the evidences of their rebellion. It's amazing how one can travel through countries. I went through Ireland some years ago, from one ruin to another. Most of them had been produced by Cromwell. I went further back in Irish archaeology and visited one Celtic ruin and another that go back 1,000 years or 800 years before Cromwell. These are the results of the Vikings. The English, the Norsemen, have left their mark on Ireland. Thousands of memorials to destruction. Women left widows. Children left orphans. Fields left burned and barren. Evidence, the smoke of their cruelty, the sign of their hatred, the result of their destruction of their fellow men, are there memorialized. And man has left across this planet evidence after evidence of his hate. And then, new every morning, we see that God is love, ready to sustain and build. Part number 5. His mediation is also necessary for unfallen worlds. While the rest of the universe has remained loyal to God, the plan of salvation has a greater objective: to establish in the mind of every rational being across this unmeasurable universe that God's ways and God's ways only are the viable ways. God's government includes not only the inhabitants of heaven, but of all the worlds that he created. Lucifer concluded that if he could carry the angels, he could carry all the worlds. But he hasn't succeeded. He's only succeeded in getting planet Earth on his side. And as the plan of salvation has been revealed, especially in the book of Revelation, we have watched the curtailing of the power of the accuser, cast out of heaven, after the cross cast into this earth, after the second coming of Christ bound on a darkened planet, and after the millennium cast into the lake of fire. Right to the end, we see him rebelling against God. In the judgment of the great white throne in Revelation 20, we see Satan seeking to destroy Christ who is on his throne and the holy city. Hatred right to the end, implacable, unalterable. Then God makes a clean heaven, and the universe acknowledges, "Just and holy are thy ways, thou King of saints. In righteousness dost thou judge and make war." Part number 4, the focus and application. Jesus is the tower. That's another word for temple or sanctuary. When he built the tower in his vineyard in Isaiah 5, that is the temple. It's the stronghold of the daughter of Zion that is his bride. And he promises that the first dominion given to humanity in Genesis 1, to control, to have dominion, to dress, to keep, will come again to the bride of Christ, daughter of Jerusalem. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And when he was lifted up on the cross, he drew all to himself. Many supplied. At that moment, Satan's last lingering interest in the minds of the universe was lost. Now there was no doubt that Satan could not be tolerated. The gulf was being bridged. The mediator was meeting a universal need. Humanity was seeing, angels were seeing, unfallen worlds were seeing, and in seeing Christ on the cross, were being drawn to the government of God. A wonderful purpose lies implicit in the mediatorial work of Christ. And to us who live this side of his second coming, the need is urgent, day by day, to maintain our relationship to him so that that mediation might succeed, and he can see of the travail of his soul in our victory and be satisfied.